glory. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father God, that we esteem your word more than our necessary food. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. You're resident in each one of us. And you are here to teach us, to open our understanding, to enlighten our hearts, to grasp the meaning of the things that we will look at this morning. Thank you, Lord God. We are so thankful for the day that we're living in and that we're a part of these days, this end time army. We are so thankful for the provision you've given us. We're so thankful that you are Lord and that, Father God, that you have seen ahead, made provision for every single area of our lives. So thank you today for your word, for your precious spirit, and for the fellowship of the saints. Amen? Amen. All right. If you want to open in Ephesians 6, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We've been talking about the title is Have You Done All to Stand? And we've been just looking at some things and paying attention to some of the things that are going on a world stage and understanding that even though we see some things happening and, you know, if you're paying attention at all to the news, the things that are going on in the world, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know whose you are, they could be reason for great concern. But, you know, God has seen ahead, and he has made provision for us in these last days to be able to finish our course and to finish the work that the church has to do, the Great Commission, and to do that with confidence and with joy and not to be in fear. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus what would be the sign of his coming. And he lays out very specifically some things that would be going on in the last days. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. So that's our responsibility, not to let our hearts be troubled when we see things on the news or when we're hearing things happening with our economy or things on the world stage, wars and rumors of wars, that we don't let our hearts be troubled. We're in control of that. That's our battlefield, and we have been given authority there, so we have to purpose not to let our hearts be troubled. And one of the scriptures that we looked at here a couple weeks ago, actually I think we looked at it two weeks ago, was in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the Amplified is so good there. It says, look carefully how you walk, live purposefully and worthily and accurately. So we need to live purposefully because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. When we see an evil day on the horizon or we see that we're living in times that are dark, we need to redeem the time so that we can know what God's will is. We need to buy up the opportunities and opportunities not only to share with others, but just to continue to feed our own spirit man and to keep our mind renewed so that when mental attacks come, we know exactly how to deal with them because they'll come. You know, if you're living in the Middle East right now, those people are, it's just crazy what's going on over there. You have to be able to take authority over the thoughts that would come, the thoughts of fear and concern for a family or, just what's happening over there right now. And of course, that's going to affect us too as well. So we have to make sure that we are redeeming the time and buying up opportunities to keep our minds renewed and do what we know to do. So in Ephesians chapter 6 here in verse 10, he starts out by saying, and you know, we've done a lot of teaching over the years on this, so this is going to be more of a recap. I'm not going to get into, unfortunately, today yet, the whole armor. I just want to talk about what it means to be strong in the Lord. Because when you see evil days or when you see things that are challenging and you're challenged in your thought life, the temptation is to try to start taking natural steps. How to do all to stand, how to be prepared. And, you know, as I said, this isn't an exhortation to become a prepper, to start stockpiling food and ammunition and things like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with being prepared. If God prompts you to do some of those things, you do it, because the most important thing in the world is to be led by your spirit and to follow your spirit. But The exhortation here is about being strong in the Lord. So in verse 10 here of Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's talking about being strengthened. You be strengthened. And it's talking about continually being strengthened, receiving supernatural strengthening, a deposit on the inside. It's talking about a spiritual thing. It's not talking about something that we would do in our own ability here. Because the scriptures elsewhere tell us to be strengthened with might in the inner man. So this is talking about an inward strength, and it's talking about spiritual strength, spiritual fortitude and vitality, because human strength or human ability is not enough to enable us to successfully stand or to withstand in these last days. It's not a flesh and blood thing that we're fighting anyway. As we see further on here in verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then he says, why? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So the battle that we're dealing with right now is not a flesh and blood battle. Now, of course, people get involved in the battles. But what's behind it? What's behind it is principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So those are the things truly that are behind the battles and the evil that we're looking at today. You know, there's a spirit of Antichrist that is just rampant in the world today. The hatred for Israel that we're even seeing, unfortunately, in our own country. That's a spirit of Antichrist. You know, and it's running rampant. And we have to guard against these things. I've heard Christians make comments and statements against Israel. And I just think, how could you be so deceived as to fall in with that? But, you know, that's the day we're living in, where we have to guard our hearts not to be deceived. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're no match for Satan's wiles. We're no match for his devices. Because even though his power was stripped, or his authority was stripped legally by Jesus at the cross, his intelligence is still intact. And that's the only thing he has to really use against us. The only true weapon the devil has to use against us is deception. And so that's still intact. And he's effective with it. He's effective at deceiving. That's why we see people today jumping ship on certain issues that the church should be standing strong in. We see people changing their mind and saying, well, that's not what the scriptures mean anymore. They're trying to say the scriptures are relative to the culture and to the time. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change his mind. And so the enemy is working against the church. He's trying to outwit leaders in the church and with his strategies and his deceit. But, you know, they're no match for the power of the Holy Spirit. So where do we get this power? Well, it tells us right here in Ephesians 6:10 exactly where that power comes from. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Now, you know, you've all heard there's a phrase in the world of real estate, location, location, location. That is as true, more true than ever for believers. It's location, location, location. Where are you? Where are you? You are in the Lord. And so it's interesting because, you know, tenses in the Greek, we don't see these things in the English language, but tenses in the Greek carry great weight. And in this phrase, in the Lord, is in the locative sense, meaning that we've been locked in. We've been locked into him. And so in the Lord, the power of God that we need to be able to withstand in these evil days is locked up in him. So we need to know whose we are and where we are. There's no tapes, there's no books that can give you this power. It's a personal relationship, an intimate, ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to walk in this power. Now, earlier in Ephesians, in the first chapter, there's several verses where this language of in him is used. And, you know, we've talked about doing in him studies because we need to know where we are. We're in that secret place, that safe place, when we abide in his presence. And starting in Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." So the blessing is in him. Verse 4 says, "Even as he has chosen us in him." So we've been chosen in him. Verse 6 says, He has blessed us in the Beloved. See, all of these are locative. They tell us where we are, that we're locked in somewhere. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, in Him, it says, we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So you can see that the whole concept of location is a hugely important one, and it's hugely important when it comes to understanding where our power comes from, where our ability or enablement comes from to be able to stand against the things that we're observing in the world today. We can't do it with mental, human, natural intelligence or reasoning. You ever tried to reason with somebody just from a human standpoint about the things of God? It's ineffective. It doesn't work. But boy, I'll tell you, when you're quickened by the Holy Spirit to share spiritual truth with people, it's amazing how effective that is. In the middle of a conversation, if you ever found yourself in the middle of a conversation wondering, what am I going to answer here? What am I going to say? And then something just rises up on the inside, and it seems to just cut to the quick of that thing. Well, that's with the wisdom of God that rises up on the inside at a time like that. And so, you know, once you were born again, you were locked up in the person of Jesus, and He becomes your realm of existence, your realm of habitation. Now, we may not mentally be aware of that, but that is a spiritual truth. We are in Him. And where is Him? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So we are in Him, seated at the right hand of the Father. So often we're so just only aware of our natural habitation here. We're only aware of having our feet on terra firma. You know, we're only aware of that. But He's telling us something that needs to be more real to us, and that is the fact that in Him, it's in Him that we're located. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, For in Him we live and move and have our being. Boy, that's a great scripture to meditate on a daily basis. Especially when living in the days we're living in, where we're being confronted, bombarded by things all the time that could bring fear or could cause fear. It's in Him that we live and move and have our being. So we're surrounded by and we're immersed in His power just by virtue of the fact that we're in Him. And you know, we may not be mentally aware of that power, but it's always at hand. It's always available. It's always accessible to us. The power of God's always accessible to us. You know, some of the indicators that it's available to you is some of the initial things that the scriptures say about us having the Spirit's involvement in our lives. In Acts, it tells us that speaking in other tongues is an evidence. Another evidence of the Spirit's involvement in your life is just your ability to be a witness. Not just to witness, but to be a witness, to live a life that's above the average. Those are all indicators of the Spirit's involvement in our lives. But our passage here goes on to tell us not just to be strengthened, but to be strengthened in the power of His might. And so that word power there, where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that word power is the word kratos, which means manifested or demonstrated power. So not only are we inwardly strengthened, but then there's a power that's demonstrable. Those are the kinds of things that we see with the gifts of the Spirit operation, where you see people receiving miraculous healings or miracles. Or this power was the power that, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, it's this power that raised Christ from the dead. This kind of power. And that, again, is available to us through the working of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we hear stories all the time from ministry friends who are out on the field, especially people in those Middle East countries now, of miraculous things that God is doing by His Spirit as a testimony to them that God is the one God, the true God, the great God. And so we're to be strengthened in Him, location, 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 but also in the power or what's meant to be demonstrated of His might. And that word might just is talking about ability. It's just talking about what we're capable of or able to do, again, in Him. You know, God doesn't expect us to do these things on our own or in our own strength. This is all what's available to us in Him. And so with that kind of power at our disposal, you think about the things that the power of God, the hand of God has done that's recorded for us in the scriptures. The creation of not only our world, but the universe. the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, the things that God has accomplished through his great power, that power is still available to us today. So we are able to fight the good fight and lay hold on what belongs to us because of this great power. And we can confront the enemy. We can confront the wicked spiritual wickedness that's always waging against our minds and against our flesh. But it's in him. It's always in him. So he goes on in verse 11 to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That put on just means put it on like a new pair of clothes or a new outfit. And I love the concept of it being a new outfit because God has new ways of approaching things. God has different ways than the ways our natural tendencies would be to go. God has a different way of approaching things. And so put on, it's like putting on new clothing. And it's interesting because he lists several different pieces of armor here. And it's interesting because more is involved in the armor than just the helmet of salvation. And I think most Christians are really good there. They've been trying to wage this battle just with a helmet on. If you were out in that day, if you were out on the battlefield and you just had a helmet on, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? With the kind of weaponry that they use. It's not enough just to be saved today. We have to have some understanding and some faith in these realities that are so readily available to us in the Word, and that the Holy Spirit is able to enlighten us and reveal to us. So we have to understand and we have to believe our righteous position. We need to know that we have right standing with God and that there's certain fruit that's going to come forth as a result of being in right standing with God. We have to understand and believe in the power of faith. We have to understand and believe in the Word and the gospel of peace. And we can just go on and on and on. And we'll look at these more in weeks to come. But these different pieces of armor are belief systems. These are all part of our belief system that if we are not grounded in these new creation realities, we will be very susceptible to the wiles of the enemy. And that's what we're seeing happening in the church today. We're seeing leaders become very susceptible to the things that the enemy is trying to do to weaken and to dilute the strength of the church. And so, again, this is the armor of God. It's his armor. It's not human armor. But it's all ours by virtue of our relationship with him and where we're located. And so it's for people who continue in their walk with him and realize that their life and their existence is more than just on this natural plane, but it's in him and it's from him. And I love to think, you know, if we're dressed like God and if we fight like God and if we look like God, well, then the devil doesn't know anything more than that. And that's the problem, is if we're not fighting like God, if we're fighting, trying to fight these battles in our natural strength, and we won't look like God. And I think what happens is so often people, the moment they open their mouths and start talking the problem, start talking the junk, start talking unbelief, that's when the enemy recognizes that's not God. That's not God inside of that armor. But if we're talking like God, if we're dressing like God, if we're acting like God, the devil doesn't know the difference. He can't tell the difference. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So again, just to point this out again, that it's putting on the whole armor of God. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles, the deception, the devices that the enemy uses. We're not going to be able to do that. The word stand here means to hold your ground. You know, Jesus gained ground for us. He gained some ground for us, and we need to hold that ground. And in the context here, as far as battle goes, this word is a reference to maintaining a critical and strategic position over a battlefield. So what that's implying is that each one of us are responsible for our own battlefields. Now, we can have people come alongside and agree with us at times, but you're responsible for the battlefields in your life. You're responsible to fight the fight for your finances. You're the one who's responsible to fight the fight, to stand and to hold your ground for your healing. You're the one who's responsible for those areas of your life. Everybody faces some kind of challenge in their life. You're responsible for that. You know, when we're children, our parents can, you know, their authority sort of is like an umbrella, and they can stand in the gap for us. But I tell you, once you get to a certain age, you need to learn how to stand on your own two feet and be responsible to hold your ground. Because the enemy's going to pick on everyone. That's his job. And he's good at it. He's good at what he does. And so we're responsible. And it says that if we'll hold our ground, then we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And I love this word. This word wiles is a really interesting word if you study this out. It's the word where we get our English word method from. But in the original language, it's from two words in the Greek language that means with. It's adding two words together, with and road. So it's talking about being on a road or being traveling on a road. That's where the word originally started. And so Paul actually is trying to get us to understand that the enemy does not have a whole lot of tricks that he can use against the church. And as many tricks as the enemy would like us to believe he has. He would like us to believe that he has a huge bag of tricks, but really by choosing this word, wiles, Paul's telling us, no, he has primarily one road, one avenue, one trick in his bag of tricks. That's really all he has is just one. But the thing is that he's learned to use that one trick very well. He knows how to use it, and he's good at using it. But it's just one trick, one road. And where that leads him to is the devices that he uses against us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. And that word devices is a reference to the mind or the thoughts or the intellect of human beings. So the one road that the devil knows how to travel and knows how to use leads right to our minds. We're not supposed to be ignorant of that. We should not be ignorant of the fact this is how he fights against us. Now, I said this, and sometimes people don't quite understand the full meaning of it, but you know, when you get attacked physically, that's generally not the devil hitting you with sickness. What he hits you with is he hits you with the thoughts about those symptoms. He'll come to you and he'll put thoughts in your mind about it. Now, I'm not saying that the origin of these things isn't the devil. It is. But really where he hits us is he hits us. You know, we're living in a natural world, natural diseases, things that are just, they're out there. And we can be very vulnerable physically at times. But what the enemy does is his goal is to come against you in the thought life. What you do there is going to determine the outcome of that battle or that situation. He's on that one road, and he knows how to get you thinking about it. You know, and we can apply this in every single realm of our life, say just in relationships. You might get hit with thoughts like, oh, I'm so alone. Nobody likes me. I don't have any friends. And that's, who's behind that? Who's behind? If you feed on that enough, then you'll start believing it. Once you start believing it, you'll start living like that, and it's going to come to pass. That'll become your reality. And so that's exactly what the enemy wants to accomplish. He plays mind games. That's really what his whole form of attack against the church is, in the form of mind games, in the form of mental assaults. Yes, you know, he's at the root of the things that humanity is suffering from. Yes, the devil's at the root of that because of the fall, because of the curse that's on the earth today. But his main way of dealing with us, his main form of attack, his main way of coming against the church is all here. It's all thought here. That's why we have to be so quick to counter thoughts that are against God's word. 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's why this exhortation is so powerful. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a huge job. You might not think so, but it is. Have you ever stopped and just paid attention to your thoughts during the day? You know, it's such a normal part of our life just to have thoughts filtering through and flowing, and to stop though and pay attention to the kinds of thoughts that you're having. And are you countering the thoughts? that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, when a thought of worry comes or a temptation to worry about where your needs are going to be met or how they're going to be met, do you stop and counter that immediately? That's how you cast those thoughts down. Remember, that's the enemy's only trick that's effective, is to get you thinking and agreeing with what he's saying about your finances, what he's saying about your health, what he's saying about your relationships, your marriage, what he's saying about the call of God on your life, what he's saying about your purpose for being in the world. What are you doing with those thoughts when they come? Are you casting them down? Are you taking them captive? That's what our assignment is to do. That's how we stand in that position of oversight on our battlefield. You know, we're not putting on physical pieces of armor and praying and screaming in loud tongues and things like that. We are taking thoughts captive. That's the ammunition the enemy uses, so that's what we have to fight back with the word of God that we believe in. So the road that he uses, the weaponry that he uses for a purpose. He knows that whoever controls the mind controls the finances, controls the health, controls the relationships, controls the gifts and the callings in a person's life. And if he can control those things, he can control them. He can control their life. He'll have their life in his hand, all just because it started with some thoughts. They seem so innocent. Well, I can think on this for a little bit. It's okay. It won't hurt anything. The longer you allow those things and you fellowship with those thoughts in your mind, the longer you do that, the more likely you are to believe them. And I don't care if there's evidence to back them up. How are we going to change that? Even if there's evidence to back it up, I've got the sniffles, or I've got pain in my body, or my checkbook says negative something. I've got some evidence here. I don't care. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's what we believe that matters, not what the evidence is saying or what the thoughts that are hitting us. But his whole goal is to control our lives and to keep us from experiencing the abundant life. So, you know, what is deception? Deception is just as simple as this. It's believing a lie. When we believe the things the enemy tells us, when he comes along and counters God's word, and we grasp that and hold fast to that, that is deception. And the moment you begin to believe a lie, that lie has the power to become a reality in your life. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, you know, your faith, you can release faith in either what God says, or you can release faith in the lie. And whatever you release faith in, whatever you choose to believe, is going to have the power over your life, and it's going to become your reality. So what's your reality today? What are you experiencing in your health? What are you experiencing in your finances? What are you experiencing in your relationships, or in your sense of why you're here on the earth today? What are you experiencing? Well, in most cases, that's the product of what you have put your faith in, the things that you have believed. And that's going to, of course, govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. So this is a process. This isn't something that just happens suddenly. The enemy brings a thought, then he brings another thought. And he just watches us just accept that, and then accept that, and he takes us down his road. Again, it's that one road that leads us to a certain place. And, you know, that's what is going to be eventually his goal, is for deception to be fulfilled in our lives. And we don't want that. Amen. We're living in a day where we want to know that we are strong, we're standing our ground, we're holding our ground, we're fighting back. And that's the good news. The good news is that we can resist those lies. You can't necessarily resist something, some evidence that's out there. It's evidence, but you can overcome it. You can see it turned around and changed by what you choose to believe. Haven't we all experienced that? We've all experienced this physical symptom come on our bodies, haven't we? You've experienced that. And then rather than side in with that and start talking it, which I hear so often, people just blatantly confess the symptoms but never talk the solution. We're not denying that symptom is there. We're just denying its right to be there. Because someone spilled blood, someone paid the price for our healing. That's the reality we have to choose to agree with. And that's how you resist. It's so simple to resist. Isn't that how Jesus resisted in the wilderness? As soon as the thought came, we don't know if the devil physically appeared to him or if it just was a mental attack. That's one videotape I can't wait to see, you know, recording, just to see how that actually happened. But what did he do? He immediately put the word to work. He didn't stop and even consider what the enemy was saying. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Look at the evidence here. He immediately countered it with the word of God. And that's where we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, where it tells us not to be vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but to redeem the time. As long as we're still in this physical body on this earth, we can redeem the time. We can spend time every single day in God's word. It's the most relevant thing there is to life. It's more relevant than anything you'll read on the internet. And, you know, even stuff that people say, well, I fact-checked that, and it's true. Well, they could lie about fact-checking, you know? The most relevant thing that you can feed on every day is God's word. It's never going to go out of style. It's never going to be outmoded. Never. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the only way we're going to be able to resist in these evil days. Amen? All right, we're going to close there. We'll pick up with this again next time. Amen?